Chris Graham.
Welcome to our podcast. We'll talk some O's baseball, Baltimore Orioles baseball, with Scott German, who he doesn't want to admit it, but he watches a lot of O's. He's an O's fan, has been for life, but maybe right now a little on the fence on that. Scott, thanks for joining us and talk about the O's and how tough it's been the last few days to keep watching this team.
Because last year they finished last in the division. Within 2.5 games of a playoff spot on Labor Day, and then finished losing 23 out of the last 27 games. And they started 2018 off similarly, losing 11 of 16. So, yeah, it's been tough. And what makes it even tougher is that you're kind of on the fence, because this team is, it's certainly a team in transition. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen with some of their stars that are eligible for free agency next season, whether or not they'll even be on this team come post All-Star mark of the season. So, yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult as a fan to watch, and with the uncertainty of whether or not your guys are going to even be your guys in the next couple of months.
So let's break it down. 5-11 start, as Scott noted. Manny Machado is Manny Machado. He's 3 homers, 9 runs batted in. He's hitting over 300. Dylan Bundy, the 0-2 record belies how well he's pitched. 1.40 ERA, 31 strikeouts, 7 walks. I mean, good numbers. What you'd want to see out of Dylan Bundy. And he's starting to see that really come around. Andrew Cashner also pitching well as a starter, but everybody else in the starting rotation has been horrible. The rest of the lineup, pretty much. Pedro Alvarez has some decent numbers, but that was a lot early on. So, you know, outside really of Machado and Bundy, this team, you know, these guys have not been performing. I guess the pen's been pitching okay, but outside of the, you know, outside of the stars, Machado and Bundy haven't had a lot of production out of Chris Davis, to say the least. Andrew Jones has been spotty. Jonathan Scope's been a little, you know, here and there, and Chris Tillman just stunk it up. That pretty much sums it up. I mean, this team is really struggling to get production out of guys who've normally given them a lot of good production.
We could go for the next 3 days on talking about players that are not producing, but we could start with Tillman. I mean, he had a horrible year last year, was coming off an injury, but there's a lot of consensus among Orioles fans is that he just doesn't have it anymore. Had a pretty good year a couple years ago, a 16-game winner, but it's just not been good at all. There's a reason that some of these free agents were still free agents halfway through spring training. They just weren't that much. There just wasn't that much interest in the rest of the league in signing it. And I don't think there was been a lot of hope that just because the Orioles re-signed Tillman that they were going to rejuvenate, kickstart his career. He's just not been good for about a year and a half, and that's a pretty large sample period of time to just ignore. Davis, could go down as the worst contract in the history of the Orioles. And they are a team that's kind of got a good market on bad contracts, because they gave a similar deal about a decade ago, and it saddled their organization financially for years to Albert Bell. And that's, maybe a topic for another day, but, the Orioles compete in a division that's probably not only the best, strongest division on the field, but certainly in the revenue. They're competing with Yankees and Red Sox, two of the top 5 revenue organizations in all of baseball. Toronto's in the top 10. And so it's hard for the Orioles to keep up with the Joneses, because they don't have the revenue stream that there's other clubs do. Now, they do have more than what you would think, because there are, even though they're a mid-market team in size, the population of the Baltimore metropolitan area, Orioles have a very lucrative TV deal, basically because they screwed Major League Baseball in order to not block the move of Montreal to D.C. about a decade ago. They control the franchise, the television rights to the Nationals, and they will control them for at least the next 10, 12 years. It's a 100% control for 20, and then it's kind of prorated over the final 5 years. So they're only about 12 years into that deal. And so they make a lot of money on there. They make a lot more money than they should from a team in the size market Baltimore is in, because they get a lot of the revenue that the Nationals should be getting but aren't getting because of the deal that they cut with MLB to not block the Nationals' move. So the Orioles aren't financially strapped, but you give a contract like they gave to Chris Davis, a $25 million a year contract for 7 years, and he whiffs, literally whiffs out on it, which he does at the plate many times, then what that does is that prohibits them from even entertaining an idea of giving Manny Machado a $300 million contract, because they just can't, they don't have that revenue stream. So unlike the Yankees and Red Sox, Yankees go out and sign someone like Carlos Stanton, and if he whiffs and just busts, which I don't foresee, but if he were, Yankees move on. So they've got the revenue to make up. They can move on, wipe him off the payroll, and just keep paying him to do that. Orioles aren't in that situation, so they got that contract with Davis hanging over their heads, and it's just saddling them tremendously, because they can't right now even remotely entertain signing Manny for a long-term contract. And Davis has just been horrific at the plate. He is batting below 200. I think he's struck out 20 times. He may have one or two RBIs, one home run. Just a disaster. And, you know, those are things that are, plus they've had horrible weather. They played yesterday in Boston. Game time temperature. Now, I'm not making excuses for the Red Sox playing the same conditions, but 34 degrees with a 23-mile-an-hour wind and light rain and snow. They've had numerous games like that all year. So the bats are going to heat up. There's no question about that. They've got too many proven veteran hitters. But by the time they heat up, if you look at the standings, they're already about 7.5 back of the Red Sox. They may be completely out of this thing. So, no, it's not. Things aren't looking good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot in there to unpack. You know, the Chris Davis thing, I remember you and I doing a Hot Stove League podcast a couple of years ago when Davis was a free agent, and debating the wisdom. You know, he was coming out of his 30 year. He had, you know, the career year, well, not career year, 38 homers, 84 RBIs for him. That was actually a come down a little bit. 2015, he had 47 homers. Back in 2013, 53 homers. You know, he's never been a really an average guy or on base guy. Even after his 38 home run year, he only hit 221 that year. But then the precipitous decline since, 26 homers last year, the 215 batting average, now hitting 132. And yeah, he's a 32-year-old guy with 5 more years left on a $23 million a year contract. And that's going to really eat you up for a while. And then, you know, you talked about Tillman. Just 2 years ago, 2016, 16-6 record. And one thing I noticed, Scott, I was looking this up on Fangraphs. I love to consult Fangraphs and BaseballReference.com for the listeners out there for some inside baseball kind of real good stats. And I think one number really speaks to Tillman's lack of success as much as anything else. And these are just numbers, but in 2016, the year he was 16-6, fastball averaged 92.9 miles an hour. This year so far through three starts, 11.91 ERA, his fastball is averaging 89.9 miles per hour. It's only 3 miles per hour, you would say, and what's the difference? 3 miles per hour? 3 miles per hour might as well be forever, because, you know, that's a weak fastball for a starting pitcher, especially a formerly elite starting pitcher like Chris Tillman. And, you know, it makes it so that you have to change your... He's still throwing the same percentage of fastballs as he had been in past years, still around 60% fastballs. he's just not throwing, you know, not throwing as many of them, not as effectively with them. And guys are, you know, much more easily able to catch up. So, you know, those are two guys that 2 years ago were linchpins of this O's team. And now, you know, you had Tillman averaging a fastball right around 93 miles an hour, you know, lights out elite number one starter, who's now also ran starter, eating up a lot of time and attention. I mean, I think going into the offseason this past year, you're thinking, hey, we got Tillman, we got Bundy, you know, we got Mike Wright, we got Gausman. They're both struggling right now too. But Tillman will help things turn around. He's not. And then Davis is just eating up at bats right now without adding productivity. It's hard to win. And then, you know, 'cause what happens in baseball is Scope will go through slumps. Davis Jones will go through slumps. I mean, that happens in baseball. Machado's hitting decently. He's not hitting the cover off the ball. Just like I said about Cashner, he's got some good starts. He's got some quality starts in the rotation. But, you know, if you've only got a couple of guys doing things in baseball, that's awfully hard. You've got to have a few guys clicking. And when you've got a lot of money invested in Tillman and in Davis, and they're not doing anything. In fact, they're producing negative value. Yeah, that's really hard to overcome.
You know, you talk about Tillman, and I don't even like to think about him as he's been so horrible. 89 miles an hour would be an ideal speed for batting practice. And that's what he's been. He's been basically throwing deep pitches. Now, he had a pretty severe injury last year that limited him to starts. I don't think he even made his first start until somewhere near the end of May. I think it was an oblique injury, so that may be contributing to the decrease in his velocity. But you're right. From 92 to 89 miles an hour would be what hitters would love to see in the batting cage at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just not going to cut it if that's your fastball in the major league level, especially this early schedule that the Orioles are playing. And here's who they play. They play 4 against the Yankees, 3 against the Red Sox, 4 against the Astros, the defending world champion. So that's 11 of your first 16 games against 3 teams that are legitimate World Series caliber teams. Now, I guess that could be the silver lining, that when the bats wake up, and we haven't talked about the two acquisitions that they had, and those were good acquisitions, and Alex Cobb and Alex Cashman, especially knowing what kind of pitchers they are. They're ground ball pitchers, and for the two of us analytic great geeks, baseball is that premier sport for analytics. Cashmere and Cobb are ground ball pitchers. That's why they went out and got them, because Camden Yards, if you're a fly ball pitcher in Camden Yards, you're in trouble. You're in serious trouble. Especially once the weather heats up, humidity sets in, fly balls are souvenirs 9 times out of 10 in Camden Yards. So hopefully you get through this murderous opening schedule, which they're not yet. They had a game snowed out today in Boston. They were supposed to play the Patriot game today at 11 a.m., but they canceled that last night because of horrendous weather for the Boston area today. And then, so what do they get? They get to fly to Detroit for 3 games that the game time temperatures are expected to be in the high 30s. And a good Detroit team. So I guess the silver lining is Cashmere and Cobb are proven quality pitchers. Bundy, Kevin Gausman are having decent years, Bundy especially. You get some innings under Cashmere and Cobb, and these bats will heat up. So they'll hopefully turn things around, but it may be too little too late, especially in a division where you've got the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, and the Yankees. They're, you know, right there, and they play those 3 teams 54 times. That's a 30-year schedule against 3 of those teams. And so, you know, it's going to be an interesting year. if they fall out of contention, there's going to probably be some wheeling and dealing. I look for Adam Jones to maybe be dealt. Certain, don't know about Manny. I don't know if the trade value for Manny now will be what it would have been if they would have unloaded him in the offseason. They may just play out the season with Manny and take that first-round draft pick that'll go with losing him, because I don't know if they'll get that much in return for him, trading him to a team for a couple of months, especially a team that's not the Yankees or maybe Red Sox that know they'll just be renting him. They're not going to give up. They're not going to get a lot in return.
Yeah, the new era Yankees anyway, you know, the Sternbinder Yankees may have rented him for a couple of months, but the new group, you know, the new thinking there seems to be, hey, we've got a lot of assets, young assets, let's keep those assets. But then again, you know, I think it could be a 50-50 proposition, especially with the Yankees and maybe the Dodgers as well. They know they're going to be renting him because Machado is going to go on the open market. I mean, assuming the O's are a seller at the trade deadline, and if right now plays out, they are, you know, if they are a seller at the deadline, you have to assume that's not good for Manny's long-term future in Baltimore. Even if they win this year, his long-term future is still a question, but if they lose this year, it really would be a question. And, you know, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, your best laid plans go out the window, and it would be great for the O's. I mean, you know, thinking long-term, and of course, what O's fans want now, what we all want right now, it's only 16 games in. Let's not throw the towel in quite yet, but you want to see this team get it turned around and be a contender. But if they're not, and it seems inevitable that they're going to lose pieces like Machado, perhaps Zach Britton as well, you know, assuming he gets back and shows that he's, you know, elite-level closer yet again. If they're going to lose them, package them as best you can and get some future out of that. You know, get some guys, get some studs, get some arms, some bats. Out of that and turn it into something. You can really turn these trade deadline deals, you can, you know, kind of play the aggressiveness of these contenders against them. You know, the Yankees are stacked. They got a lot of young guys kind of, and right now with what they've got at the major league level, it may be a sort of a log jam between AA, AAA, and the bigs. So you may be able to take advantage of that. But yeah, let's throw that out the window. It's still only mid-April right now. Let's get these O's turned around. But, yeah, they may have to be thinking that way in just a couple of months if this team isn't able to turn things around. You're exactly right.
And, you know, there's the consensus amongst some of the sports writers in Baltimore was that the fact that they did not trade. And one thing, the Angelos family that owns the club, very loyal to their players. And the Orioles players themselves will tell you, they're treated first class. They have a phenomenal clubhouse. They have a phenomenal spring training facility in Sarasota. They have their own plane. They are treated like the extreme professional, high-paid athletes they are. Manny likes playing in Baltimore. He's an extremely good friend. His best friend is Jonathan Scope. He loves the small town atmosphere of Baltimore. Not to say he would give the Orioles a home team discount, but if the Orioles were contenders and they wanted to keep Manny, and the money was right, and Manny's represented by Scott Boras, who has a good relationship with the Orioles ownership. He has a very good relationship with the Angelos family, and it's basically the Angelos sons that are running the organization now. He has a good relationship with Dan DeCat, the general manager, because DeCat, Boras represents Chris Davis, he represents Adam Jones, he represents Manny Machado. He's had good experiences in dealing with the Orioles organization, so it wasn't out of the realm of possibility that the reason they didn't trade Manny during the winter was because they really think they have a good chance of retaining him. And they still may. They very well may. It's way too early to think that it's a hopeless situation that Manny will be wearing pinstripes or not blue come August. That's totally not a given by any means. The other thing, and the difference in, from baseball than basketball, especially NBA, maybe the NFL, is let's not even get started on talking about the word tank, because in baseball, you can't tank for 1 year. You got to do what the Houston Astros did, and I'm not sure I would want to be a fan of a team that basically throws in the towel and says, we're going to tank it for 3 years in a row, because you got to tank for about 3 years. The Astros, for three consecutive years, lost over 100 games, lost 106 games 1 year to get that first pick in the draft. If you tank it for 1 year just because you get number one pick in the June draft, that doesn't mean anything. You got to do it with consistency like the Astros did. And it still doesn't mean you're going to guarantee that your picks are going to make it to the major league level. So if anyone thinks that the Orioles just aren't losing the Blues to get a high draft pick, that's ridiculous. That doesn't work out that well. And I don't think Baltimore fans would appreciate having to be facing the possibility of having a team that's going to lose in excess of 100 games for the next 3 years.
Yeah, and plus, I think that that media narrative has come up the last couple of years about the Astros tanking intentionally to get all those picks that led to a World Series is a bit overstated. They were just a bad team. You know, like you said, Scott, tanking in baseball really doesn't do you much good, because it's not in basketball. Generally speaking, the number one pick, the lottery picks, they're going to contribute right away in the NBA. They may not be stars right away. They might be, but they're going to contribute right away. Major League Baseball number one pick very rarely contributes even the first season, maybe even a couple seasons into a career. Sometimes it takes 3 or 4 years for that guy to get to the big leagues, if he gets there at all. So there are value picks all through the first round. There are value picks through the first 5 rounds, the first 10 rounds. You know, it's more about scouting and then developing players than it is about, hey, let's load up with – let's go through what the Philadelphia 76ers did for several years, this process that led to all these guys coming on board. And I still say that's a bit of luck too. If Joel Embiid doesn't finally overcome injuries, we're not talking about a process with the Sixers. We're talking about, you know, a failed process with the Sixers. But in baseball, it's really ludicrous to suggest, hey, let's go lose a bunch of games so we can get good picks, because, I mean, listeners out there know we do UVA sports podcast most of the season long, football, basketball, and a baseball season. Danny Holson was a number two overall pick a few years ago. He sat out the last couple of years. He just got signed by the Cubs after an extended spring training because of arm injuries. He hasn't pitched in the big leagues yet. I think he was a 2013 number two pick. That shows you how hit or miss it can be. So, yeah, you got to try to win. You got to try to win every year. Develop players. Play smart in the free agent market. The O's, like you said earlier, Scott, they have money. It's not like they're a small market team. They've got the TV contract of a big market team. Get out there and try to win games. And there's no excuse about it. The O's have won. They won in the 60s. They won in the 70s. They won in the 80s. There's no excuse they can't be winning now.
Yeah, and again, they're not. This is, we're not talking about an organization unless there's some drastic change done within where they play. We're not talking about a team like Tampa that's playing in a market that they have no chance of surviving unless they build a completely different stadium. And even then, that market is just probably not suited for a Major League Baseball team. The Orioles are playing East Coast baseball. We're talking Baltimore, Boston, New York, now the Nationals, Philadelphia, the Mets. I mean, this is baseball, hardcore, blue-collar baseball. And the Orioles have the revenue streams. They have the infrastructure to be successful. And this year, they have been successful. The past 5 years, up until last year, they were the winning. They had more wins than any team in Major League Baseball. And they're, you know, things are going a little haywire right now, but they still have enough personnel on the team that they can certainly be a playoff contender. Now that we've added a second wild card, especially you've got teams that are currently 500 that are in contention for that second wild card.
I'm mindful of Scott's time today, so Scott, I know your time's running out, so I'm gonna go ahead and wrap us up here. On future podcasts, we'll also talk some Nats baseball. They're stinking it up too, and we'll give fair, equal coverage to both of our local teams who are not playing good baseball right now in future on future podcasts. But Scott, I want to thank you for your time today talking some O's.
It'll make this off season go a little quicker.